Welcome to episode 393 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Lindsay. Holland America is one of the oldest cruise lines, celebrating its 150th birthday next year. Some of your ancestors may have come to America on Holland America, and its first function was exactly that, bringing people from Europe to America and America to Europe. Over the years, the line transformed into the leisure cruise line it is today, with a focus on destinations, education, and immersion. All of their ships' names tie back to Holland, and to make matters more confusing, they even reuse the names. So their newest ship, the Rotterdam, is actually the seventh ship to have been given that name. So that's not confusing at all.
Yeah, so if you think you've been on the Rotterdam before, you probably were.
She is nothing like her ancestors. Built as a member of the line's pinnacle class, she has all the bells and whistles we expect from a newer ship. Elizabeth recently sailed on a travel agent exclusive sailing to get to know the Rotterdam, so tonight we look forward to hearing all about it. So let's get started. So how many nights were you on the Rotterdam?
Three,
okay.
And I'd like to say, I know that you and Lindsay are Holland America aficionados. This was my very first Holland America cruise, so I was really excited to experience it, yeah.
Okay, so let's jump right to that elephant in the room. Did you feel like you were like the youngest person on board, or what did you think about it?
No, and you know, I talked about this because it was a travel agent event. So there were Holland America executives on board, and there was a lot of real talk about sort of marketing and how things have changed over the years. And I think that its reputation for being for older people came from a good place. Like that was a thing. But it's definitely a cruise line that is trying to move with the times and attract a younger audience. And it's doing some things that really could do that. I think that it's a big hurdle to cross because they had that reputation for so long.
They have some very loyal guests.
Yes. You know, yeah. And that is the thing. I mean, you know, eventually your guests can only get so old. I mean, not, just to be perfectly frank, eventually they can't sail anymore. And so what do you do then if your reputation is all about this, like only this loyal audience? And so I think that they have quite a bit of homework ahead of them to like convince the world that this isn't all they do, you know, that they are attractive to a younger audience. I still don't know that it's kid friendly, but I don't know that they're really even aiming for that, you know, young child audience as well, but more sort of, you know, you're educated, and you guys know this too. I think you came back with the same thing, and I was like, oh, really? Sure. But I think it's true that they're definitely going for an educated, you know, we'll go with middle age. You know, there is that. I am at that point, too, where I say, gosh, that's a ship for old people. And then I go, I'm old people.
I mean, I just turned 50. And I fit Holland America well, I think. I mean, I love Holland America.
I do, too. And like, I feel like that we're not thinking about that because we're not thinking about how old we actually are.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm 50, but I'm 50.
Yeah. I mean, to my very first river cruise, it was like, I thought this was for people over 40.
Nope, it's for me.
I am over 40. I mean, when I said that, it was like, yeah, there was a suddenly realization.
I feel like we need to point out that Elizabeth's older than me. Yeah, so
I like 5 months. So
still, you're older than me. Hey, so, I forget what like when we had Tara on the our Holland America representative on the podcast, she talked about, I forget what the phrase was they used, like. Educated or people who want to learn. I can't remember.
It's educated and curious or something like that.
Curious traveler or something like that. Yeah.
For the curious traveler who wants to, and I do like that focus on education. And that's one of the things that I personally love about Holland is who wants a lecture on a cruise ship? Me. Mm-hmm. I want a lecture on a cruise ship. I want to learn some things that I didn't learn in school that I had the opportunity to learn and I wasn't as interested then that I want to know about now. And that Holland, that connection with the education, it really grabs your interest. And
let's back that up a little bit, because you say lecture and you imagine like this old guy with glasses going, and now we're going to talk about economics. The way that they do it, they make a show out of it. There's a production value. And honestly, as a theater person and as a storyteller, I watched it going, oh, look at them using lighting. Oh, look at them using, ways to, so it is a lecture, but it's done in an entertaining way with a huge screen, this amazing theater with this ginormous screen that they actually show BBC Earth on. So it's, obviously high resolution and then it has your heartstrings get pulled and then there's drama and then there's, they really,
I remember crying about
it. Yeah. Oh, we were crying. We were bawling. We're watching. Did you watch the history of Holland, America? And just hearing, about everything from the immigration to the Holocaust, getting people out and the prohibition. We were just bawling. We were bawling our eyes out in this theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of history. I mean, there is indication that Holland America was present close by-ish when the Titanic went down. I mean, like, this is serious history. This is serious, long, long, long history. And you hear Holland America, and I think people focus on the Holland. And to be fair, they kind of focus on the Holland, too. It's definitely, Dutch. But it's also America. Like, this is the reason a lot of America is here. This is truly our history as well. So definitely my eyes were opened. I knew it was an old line. I mean, I knew like the general story, but to hear that story told in a dramatic fashion with lighting and music and, it was eye-opening. And I think, I think they do that on every cruise, but I know that they did it intentionally on ours because they had to pick and choose what they showed us. But that's something that as a travel agent, I really appreciate knowing the history of the company, where it's coming from and where it's going. And that also helped me see that, they came from a very different place. So they've already made some huge transitions. So skeptical me that was like, right, they're going after the younger audience. Now I'm like, no, I think they are. I mean, they have to, and they recognize that. And it's, their ships have transformed. I mean, you didn't immigrate to America on a leisure cruise ship.
No. It was not. And they've always been ahead of the curve. I mean, they were the first ones to go to Alaska before that was even, who would want to go to Alaska?
Right.
I mean, the little pocket of world that I live in, we just got done celebrating here Holland Happening Days because of all the Holland immigrants that, how do you think they got all the way to the West Pacific Northwest from that? It's really neat how that history connection, once you realize where all the strings go and how they all line up. So tell us about the pinnacle features. I totally want to hear about all
that. Yeah, I want to hear about the ship.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and again, this is my first time on a Holland America ship, so I don't actually know off the top of my head what is different and what's on all of the ships. I do know that the craft cocktail bar is amazing. It was really, really well done. And they tied in the history of Holland America with their, so all of their drinks are named after something related to Holland America history. And they explain why. And so their menu is a book. You could sit there and read it. It's like, it tells you why it's named this and who this person was or who that person was. So just fantastic. And they have smoked cocktails. I mean, definitely craft cocktails too. Not like we're going to pretend this is craft cocktails, but we've got,
but like a real, but the real deal.
The real deal.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be on a pinnacle ship here in August and I'm very excited for that.
There's a whiskey tasting bar, which I actually didn't think was going to be open at all on our, and it's very small. It's a very intimate, it's sort of out in the middle of everything, but it's still very intimate. And I was warned, actually, one of my clients was on a sister ship to the Rotterdam in December. And he was like, don't go there because you will spend a lot of money without even thinking about it. I'm like, well, there's whiskey and my wallet, and that usually doesn't go well. So But I did see it like the last night. I noticed some people sitting around it, and I was very tempted to go join them. But I got caught up at the piano bar. The entertainment is just really great, and I believe they have it on other ships as well. But their sort of musician row and the way that they do their nightclubs, that was also something that I sort of imagined, like a whole bunch of rooms with really closed doors. But that's not what they do. What they do is they have these open spaces that you literally walk through. You have to pass through there on your way to the cocktail bar, or the whiskey bar is right there in the open. And so they just trade off sets. And so you'll never go without music. You know, normally on a cruise ship, you're listening to the salsa band and you're getting into it, and then they have to take a break. And they, you know, they're musicians, they get to take a break. But you're like, oh man, now I'm listening to the canned DJ music, you know. But on this ship, when the piano bar stops, they throw it over to the rock and roll bar, and the rock and roll bar plays for 45 minutes, and they throw it back to the piano bar, and they are there. Just it's the music does not stop, and you see people go. The ship is basically doing this. It isn't really, but you sort of imagine that that's what's happening.
I've tried to explain that to people that this, like, I really feel like Holland, there's more live music on Holland ships than there are on any other cruise line, and they
Well, for a
don't
ship of
get it
that
and see
size,
it.
I mean, yeah. So you have here that it's mid-size, 2,600 guests. I think the one we were on, Lindsay, was like 2,000 guests, right? Which didn't have that many when we were
Well, in
on it.
2668 is their maximum. That's like completely full. And rarely can a ship completely fill, just because of, configurations of rooms. They might have two people in a four person room or whatever. But yeah, it's quite small. And you would think that that would mean that, how are we gonna get all these musicians to have an audience? But man, I mean, it's right in the middle too. It's not tucked away somewhere. Some cruise ships will have their entertainment district like on the bottom level, or way at the back, or way at the front, or whatever. And this is just right there, so you can't help but hear it and pass by it, even if you don't intend to stop. And you'll stop. The BB King bar is R&B. It's not just blues. And man, some
They're good.
amazing talent in those bands. So and of course, coming off of COVID, I have seen some live music, but not a lot, especially when I went in early March. And oh man, just to sit near a piano and while somebody's playing it, somebody knows what they're doing, and it was just fantastic. So and then they have this theater that the World Theater, which is where they do the BBC Earth concert, which is a combination of footage from BBC. And by the way, they do the Firefly for the North America section. They do the Fireflies in South Carolina, the little fireflies that sync
Oh,
up in South Carolina, Congaree National Park.
wow. That's cool.
I was like, oh look, it's South Carolina. And then let's see, what else was. So I think Club Orange and their suite benefits. I think Club Orange is unique to this class of ship, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe.
So it's sort of the, every ship now has their restaurant that only suite guests can go to. And let me tell you, as someone who got kicked out, I tried to go have breakfast on the very last morning. Literally, there was nobody in there, and one of my friends was a suite guest and invited me to go have breakfast. And we sat down, and they saw my key card and saw that it wasn't the gold or whatever. And she was like, "I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't eat here." Kicked me out. Literally no one else in the place. We were getting off the ship. So, yeah.
Well, next time you'll have to stay
Yeah.
Club Orange though.
I mean, this time I didn't get to choose my cabin. It was a
Research,
gift, and
research.
I accepted it readily. So, and it was nice. I was in a very nice stateroom. I have no complaints.
So back to the entertainment, the Rolling Stone Rock Room is pinnacle. It's not it, we didn't experience that on the ships we were on, but everything else I think we did experience of the entertainment side of it.
So the
So
Rolling Stone Rock Room is it was a lot of like 80s hair bands and sort of that like rock. They might have done some 70s. And then the piano bar, the Billboard onboard is a piano bar, which surprised me actually. That's not what I was expecting, but it makes sense. And they do a lot of pop music, but also a variety of things. And like any good dueling piano bar, they'll, sing Happy Birthday to you or whatever. They'll yuck it up. Although I will say it was clearly a much more, it was not an improvised set the way that a lot of dueling piano bars are. It was a planned out set. Every time, maybe late at night, that I wasn't there past 11. So, I maybe late at night they would improv a little bit more. The B.B. King Blues Club, I don't know that I heard any blues in there. That's not to say there wasn't any, but every time I walked through, it was R&B for sure. And then I did not see the Lincoln Center stage. I didn't see the classical. They were on board, but I didn't see them perform. So, and can we just geek out about the library for a minute? I don't know what the libraries are like on other ships, but I walked in there and it is a nice library. And this is coming from a librarian. I'm a professional.
Did that one have like funky art all over the place?
It had some funky art, and the book selection was everything from like stories to like short stories to poetry to kids' books. They had a YA section, and they had multiple copies of new books. So it wasn't just like random books that people left on deck that are dog-eared. And granted, it was a brand new ship. But, and they had a few books that clearly they might have brought over from other ships or may have bought at a tag sale or whatever. But for the most part of the collection, it was brand new, multiple copies of books. It was like a new library. Like,
I had this fantasy where I'm going to do like, someday I'm going to do like a transatlantic or something on a Holland ship with a library.
Yeah.
Just read.
Read
just
everything read. In there.
Just don't. No phone, no nothing, no computer, just read for the entire cruise.
Yeah, it was, I mean, there was good stuff in there. Like, I was really impressed with this. And a wide variety. It wasn't just cozy mysteries, and it was a true variety. So it wasn't just James Patterson. It wasn't just Danielle Steele. It was definitely like, that's not to say that those people weren't there or that there's anything wrong with them, but it just wasn't the whole collection. And that made it, honestly, as a professional, you can take the girl out of the library, but you know, I do have a master's degree in something, and it was a solid small library. I was really impressed. Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
The library was in the same place as the EXE lounge, right? Because that's where it is on the other ships.
You know, it's possible. I honestly ended up in the EXE lounge by accident, and then I feel like the library was pretty central on the ship, but I only got into the EXC lounge a couple of times, and it was sort of by accident. And I honestly don't remember exactly how I got there or why, because I was doing a lot of scavenger hunts. And so I ended up like going, you know, because that's part of what they were doing was having us. So ironically, although I did go in there, I don't remember exactly where it was. I feel like it was more on the front of the ship.
I remember seeing books and puzzles and stuff in the EXC lounge, but
it was definitely a separate
room. I didn't think of it as a library, you know,
So there were a lot of books in the EXC lounge, but they were on the one we were on. They were all more travel focused or destination focused to where that ship sailed. But there is a library section too. I didn't pay as much attention to it on that ship.
This was a separate room with a pull glass door. I mean, it was a library. It was, and it was one of those places where I walked in and just went, oh, wow, I've been on a lot of ships, in a lot of ship libraries, and never seen anything like this. It was amazing. It looked a little bit more like a bookstore, honestly, than a library. You sort of expected there to be a register on the way out. but there wasn't. It's a library.
So what'd you think of the food?
I thought it was very good. I thought it was very good. Now, I did have a lot of craft cocktails before. and I did not get to eat. I ate in one specialty restaurant, which was Tamarind. And it was very, very good. And I had a little bit of sushi. And then I had, that restaurant only had about four or five menu items, which is fine. I mean, that's, you know, that shows that the food is fresh and everything. But I certainly didn't get to try everything. I ate in the dining room the other two nights. Very good. I had the pizza, which was good. Not the best pizza I've had at sea, but definitely not bad pizza at all. And that's a big contest, incidentally. There's a lot of competition out there for that. Mm-hmm. So overall, I mean, I really wish I could have tried Rudy's, which is the seafood restaurant. I love seafood. I love eating seafood on a ship. But it was, you know, again, because this was a special event cruise, it was invitation only, and I was very C-list for this one, I think.
Did you notice on this one if Canaletto was in the buffet area?
It might have been. I never remember seeing it, honestly.
They change it over on the other ships, and in the evening it becomes Canaletto, but it's part of the part of the
Yeah, and it's
buffet
just
area.
one section of the buffet area they changed to
Yeah.
Cannoletto.
Yeah, it could very well have been. I did have to eat in the buffet a couple of times. I have to admit, I had breakfast there a couple of times, especially in the morning they kicked me out of Club Orange. I had to eat. And it was good. You know, I think I make no secret about the fact that I am not a fan of buffets. But it was quite good. I was very happy with it. I had cooked to order eggs and they were very good. So yeah, overall, I was there was a lot to choose from. I think I would definitely enjoy a 7-night cruise on a ship like this. Lots of choices for food. But I also didn't feel like I had to go to a specialty restaurant to get a good meal. The dining room was really good as well. And not terribly busy or crowded or, you know, any of those
Did
things.
you do the tea, the afternoon tea?
I didn't. I think a few people in our party did. You know, I knew about it. I don't remember why I didn't do it because I've kind of always wanted to do a high tea. I feel like I ended up getting distracted by stuff.
Probably the bar.
Probably the bar. Yeah. And we did have theme nights too. So we had a gala night. So we got all dressed up in gowns and tuxedos and everybody did it. I mean, it was really, I won't say everybody. There probably were people that were kind of casual, but people went all out for it. And then there's an orange night because orange is the color of Amsterdam. And it's sort of a kind of a pretend King's Day kind of celebration. And everybody on that ship dressed in orange, and they had orange drinks and orange, like they went
My
all out.
parents were on it on they were on the Koningsdam, like on the Independence Day of, like Holland's, like whatever, like their national holiday. Yeah, maybe it was King's Day, I don't know. But yeah, they like sent an email beforehand and said everybody wear orange. Yeah, it's kind of funny. That's how I knew that one trivia question.
Well, and if you look at Holland America's Instagram, and this is coming out, we're recording this in May, early May, but I think it comes out later in May. But if you look back at the King's Day post from Holland America, it's us doing cheers. It's four Nectionites doing cheers.
That's cool. Oh, nice.
Aww. Yep.
That's awesome. All right, let's talk about the bars. You keep talking about your craft cocktails. Was there one certain bar you went to the most to get
Yeah,
that?
that was the gallery bar. And I do, at least I think it was. You know, I was looking back at the descriptions and I'm like, I think that's the one. I don't remember it being called that, but I don't it, none of these other names are right either. It's a small, it's kind of wrapped around Club Orange. And there's a bar and just a few tables, and that really big book of a menu. There's about nine specialty drinks. I sort of took it upon myself to try all of them. I tried all but maybe two. I only had 3 nights, and you know they're stout drinks, so I didn't want to just be falling all over myself, but. I did not go up to the Crow's Nest. I did not make it up there. I kind of wish that I had. And then there's Notes is the whiskey tasting. And then they have a couple of larger bars like Ocean Bar, which is more of a that's a great place to sort of gather. And actually we all met there one night. It's kind of across from one of the specialty restaurants, and there is a small stage there for a smaller kind of band to play. And it's, you know, that sort of long, lots of lounge chairs kind of bar. So wide variety.
Did you find the tamarind bar?
I didn't, you know, the tamarind, I went to the restaurant. Obviously, it was in the restaurant. So I guess I found it,
Well,
but I didn't.
so on the other ships, it's across from the restaurant.
Oh,
And
really?
when Lindsay and I
Yeah.
went on like the last night, we're like, oh my God, I can't
The
believe we
funny
didn't
thing
find this
is,
bar.
I remember doing that on the Eurodam too, Sandy. I
It
think we
was,
had like a deja
yeah.
vu experience because we did the same thing where we went the whole cruise and then we ate there at the end of the sailing and then went through that. I went through that the Eurodam, like went through there and went like, oh, we could have been here drinking
It's gorgeous and it looks
the
over the
entire
pool deck. So it's high up, but it's center ship or like midship. And yeah, it was cool. It's like really lush and themed cool. And
Yeah, I really wish that I had
check it
had
out.
more time, honestly. I mean, I'm
Yeah.
very grateful for the short time I had, but there it is a ship that has plenty to do. And I do wish I had more time. And I spent a lot of time looking around at the cabins too and checking out the suites and, you know, sort of the Neptune suites are fantastic and the suite benefits are really really great. And the price point as far as a suite goes is really nice as well for those Neptune suites. So it's kind of a nice, you know, nice upgrade. I kind of feel like it compares, and I could be wrong because I haven't done a line by line comparison, but to like concierge class on Celebrity, where it's like the price point is higher, but the benefits do line up with what you're getting, for sure. And then and with Neptune Suites, you're actually getting larger staterooms too. A big difference. And I noticed many of the rooms, the desks were actually facing the water, which is really nice too for those of us who do have to work when we're traveling. And I know a lot of cruise ships assume that you won't have to do that, but I feel like Holland sort of says we have grown-ups on this ship and they need to sometimes touch base, and it's nice to have a good, solid place to work. So, yeah. But I felt like everything on this ship was purpose-built for a younger traveler, not a young traveler, but younger than they've traditionally catered. I think sort of 35 and up would be a sweet spot for this, and definitely 40s and up for sure. They do longer itineraries, which is really nice. I know that that's still, we still have a lot of people who can't take long vacations. But since COVID, I'm kind of curious. I think that's going to change a little bit because people can work remotely. I think we may see people trying to work from their vacations and taking longer
And
ones.
I think that we're still going to see that there was a segment of the population where the longer journeys have always been very popular. Once you're retirement age or once you're it really is still very affordable to stay a very long time on a ship versus on land. So I think we're still going to see that going forward too. And like you said, maybe it'll grow because of the work, nomads. We have so many nomadic opportunities now. And I will like I want to ask you about the internet speed because it was better on my last experience with Holland, but I don't remember the first experience having that great of a time with the internet.
Yeah, I wouldn't
Remember
say.
buying it the first time.
Yeah, I and I was it was a short cruise, so I actually tried not to work too much because I was working on the cruise, so I was trying to focus on being present there. But it was not the best internet for sure. That said, I don't remember it sort of going out all the way, which happens to me a lot on other lines where it's great and then it doesn't exist. And then it's great and then it doesn't exist. And so the minute you sit down to work, it goes down. And then so you go find something else to do, but then you get caught up in something and you can't, you get pulled away and
And
can't
somebody
work.
needs a response instantly, and you can't get
Yeah,
through to
you can't
them, and
get
then
through.
that's
So
a frustration
I don't know that
sometimes.
I would count on it. I mean, I think that as far as remote work goes, if you're doing an itinerary that has a lot of stops where that you'd be able to work at some of those stops, that would be, but like doing a transatlantic, I wouldn't trust. And again, I wasn't that far out in the ocean, so I cannot tell you 100%. Maybe it's great, but I would say probably not. Probably not. It's probably the main reason I haven't done a world cruise yet. I mean, the main reason is money, but the second reason would be that I know that I can't possibly, I know that the internet will not keep me sustained and I would lose all my clients and
I would lose my mind. I would lose my mind. Lose all my clients, and I would lose my mind.
I would be in a pickle. But I think too that something to be said for Holland is the cruise director is a lecturer. Like it's somebody who really is a subject. I'm going to say she, cause ours was a female. She was the cruise director that you're used to, organizing social events. She wasn't a hype man or, she wasn't, sort of a carnival cruise director, but very knowledgeable. And I would compare her to a lot of the cruise directors I've had on river cruises where they know so much about what they're doing, but they're also very friendly and, social, and they'll sit down and chat with you. And, that sort of, so again, it was sort of that focus on a different kind of person. I'm not necessarily on my vacation to have a rockin' good time. That would be a nice side effect, but I'm on my vacation to learn and experience and grow as a person. So still fun stuff, but not necessarily a hairy leg contest or it's more it's more trivia and music and art and more intellectual pursuits, I guess. If that's the sort of thing you like doing on a vacation, if it feels like school to you, you probably wouldn't like Holland America. But if that feels fun to you, then it's the perfect vacation.
I loved it.
I did too. It's
I'm
still one
going
of
in
my
August
favorites.
too, so I'll be there, and I'm really excited
I
to be
thought
there
of you guys
for.
a lot because you've talked about it so much and how much you liked it. And again, having never done it, I just really I wanted to see it. I wanted to see if you were right. And you are.
And of course, was there
we're not
any
recording
doubt?
This, are we? So,
yeah, we're going to save this one forever. We're going to have George make that just a little sound clip.
And you were right.
You're right.
But yeah, I'm so excited to get, because this will be my first Pinnacle experience too, in August. I think we're on the same cruise, Sandy, but yeah, to get to see the craft cocktails and to get to experience the craft, because that's
and it makes me curious to try one of the older ships to see where the differences really are, because I do think, I mean, just everything is shiny and new on a new ship, so you wonder. But the sense that I get from people who've been on Holland before, including you guys, is that it doesn't matter so much. Yeah, there might be a few things missing, but you wouldn't miss them if you hadn't been on one of the Pinnacle class ships already. There's still plenty of wonderful things.
I don't even think you would miss them going back and forth. This is different, probably, you know, because we had such a fantastic time on the Amsterdam and on the Eurodam, and there's such a this unique atmosphere on a Holland ship, you know, where you kind of do, where you hang out, you know, you pick your spaces to hang out. Like, we were in the billboard on board a lot and listening to the dueling pianos. And
I love the pianos, and they would ask us like the night before for songs, and they would learn those songs, mm-hmm. or they would download them so they could play, you know, like have the sheet music so they can play.
And they would tell you what the theme was too. So they'd say, you know, at our 8 o'clock set is going to be 80s music. And, you know, so you also could sort of pick and choose when you wanted to be there. Because if it was your era, your kind of music that you wanted to listen to, but you know, just the musicianship, even the rock and roll band, the musicianship was just really, really, really good. And I was really impressed, and I usually am. It's not like cruise ship entertainers aren't good. They usually are. They're very much the top, but when you've got a band, it's kind of like, so are these people who always play together, or are they thrown together? And I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to them. I have a friend actually who's married to a musician who does play on Holland America, on the Rotterdam, in the rock band. He wasn't on board when I was there, but I believe he does play with a regular band. Like, they all come on at the same time. It's good. It's good. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yep. I love that cruise line. Yeah. But I'm old now, so, you know.
Yeah. Now you have me thinking, like, are they catering to a younger audience, or are we just getting older?
Well, I'm bringing my daughter with me in August. So I'm kind of interested to see what her perspective is. She's definitely younger than a lot of the people you see on there.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I would bring, I would bring Marcus, who you guys have met, and he loves music. So he would love the music aspect of it.
That's
and
Ellie too. Yeah.
And he also sort of gets lit up by like history and learning things in an entertaining way. He wouldn't sit and listen to, you know, an old guy with glasses lecturing on economics. But whereas Finley, my older son, probably wouldn't like it as much. He wants a little bit more action. That's his personality. Marcus wants action too, but he'll experience it in different ways. So,
yeah, we shall see.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. Alrighty, well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you, and don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.